time.
So in the pre-interview, you also discussed how some adults with a low income couldn't afford a Fall Creek membership. So could you talk more about that, why adults on a fixed income couldn't afford, or why you had to provide financial assistance to so many members?
Just a lot of the people that was left in the community there was, like I said earlier, the people who were seniors who helped build those homes in that area. They were seniors, they was in their 70s, 60s, 70s, and pretty much retired, fixed income. And then you had the kids that was over the campus apartments who, you know, they was Section 8. And so we had to do a lot of financial assistance for that. But also the YMCA was set up under where they deal with bank draft. And a lot of the individuals, especially seniors, and a lot of people didn't have or didn't have check-ins or checking accounts set up, checking accounts or savings accounts, and they didn't really feel comfortable with not knowing that every month that amount of money, $30 or whatever, is going to be. They, you know, didn't know it was going to be there, even if they did have a checking account. And so that was kind of the draw point too of how the YMCA system was set up as the bank draft that was kind of impacting a lot of the community around the Fall Creek wise for its membership.
So why weren't the fees adjusted to their financial situations when the Y adjusts how much you would have to pay?
It was, if they could do a bank draft, okay, you know, say for instance, if they could do a bank draft, the YMCA, and still today, we don't try not to turn anyone away based on the income. But if you get set up on a bank draft, say for instance, it was, I think at that time, maybe $35, $40 for a membership. If you could afford, you know, they look at your financials, say maybe you can afford $20 a month, and they will give you financial assistance for the rest. But you have to have the payroll. You have to do a bank draft or with your savings and checking account. Can't just come in. At one time, when I first started, you know, Fall Creek was a little different. I think their membership was $100, while some of the other branches was maybe already up to $300 a year or whatever. But you just pay $100, or you could come in and pay cash money. But as time went along, and as the, you know, computer scene and whatever, we changed it to the bank draft, and that's what kind of changed it. And you know, just like I said, the community, just as a whole, a lot of the individuals there, Section 8 from campus and the fixed income of the seniors, just couldn't. It was hard for them to afford it, and the bank draft thing was a piece of it that was a big piece of it, that they just couldn't come in and pay cash when they can, and a lot of them, like I said, just couldn't guarantee that on the 1st or the 16th of the month is when these bank drafts are taken out, that they would have the $30 or $40 or $20 if, you know, in there.
So let's return to talking about the November 17th, 2000 Recorder article. You are also reported as saying that while nearly half of Fall Creek's membership was African American, the branch's issues stem from lack of memberships and not race. So you're quoted as saying that in the November 17th, 2000 Recorder article. So why did you think that Fall, is that correct, that you say something to me?
It wasn't just race. I mean, because, you know, there was an African American YMCA, that's where it started. We serve a lot of African American, but we service a lot of white Americans too, because of the downtown area. So a lot of, if we could have had the other individuals other than African Americans to buy a membership with the Y, it would have worked too. So it was just a membership, and as I alluded to earlier, it was the appealing factor. I think that, you know, the Y, Fall Creek Y, you know, just wasn't appealing enough to, I guess, to purchase your membership or provide a lot of. We had a small weight room, the gym was pretty nice. We had a running track, but the locker rooms were small. And even if I even if our memberships would have increased, then we would have been forced anyway to expand or something, because it was a small facility. And so I think that's what it was. It worked for individuals coming and working only lunch break and out of there. It did get kind of tight at the time in the afternoons at 4:30 or so when we closed. Everybody was in there, only had to take turns on the machines because it was a small facility. So. But I definitely think that, back to your question, that it was membership was going to be important with everyone, not just African Americans. Everybody would have to purchase memberships to make it work.
So in your 2002 Changing Communities report, you discuss how the Senate Avenue and Fall Creek YMCA supported the African American community through serving as, quote, a chamber of commerce, community cultural center, community education and political pressure center, close quote, and a meeting place for activist organizations like the NAACP, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, or SCLC, and the Urban League. So during your time as resident hall and acting director, did you see any role for a predominantly African-American YMCA branch in Indianapolis anymore?
Oh yeah, I think it was still a need.
For a black YMCA in Indiana?
I think the legacy of the Fall Creek Y, being the black Y, should, I felt it was a need to still be there as a historical landmark, but not to forsake, because I think at the end there, we wasn't really serving as an African, we were serving as a YMCA, because we was, like I said, 50% of our membership was black, but then we had a lot of white members that was come through and using the facility. But the history of it, we did house, we did at some point we had the NAACP met there on a monthly basis. We had different other, at one time we had, I can't think right now. They went back to, let's keep going.
I'll find it. But basically, it was a Y that served everybody.
Served everyone.
Right. So Fall Creek had adult membership issues because people, both black and white, used the facility or without paying for memberships, or really couldn't afford to pay for the memberships. But is it correct that Fall Creek didn't have any issues with youth enrollment? Like you say, you still have youth coming in to Fall Creek.
Yeah, we still have youth, because we had the campus apartments, had a lot of youth in that community. But the youth was, really getting subsidized. That's where a lot of that $500,000 deficit was coming from, because they was getting subsidized through our before and after school program, through CCDF. Through membership, a lot of the kids wasn't able to pay for membership, but we wasn't gonna turn the kids away, so a lot of the kids were subsidized. So, and so we still had a lot of youth programs, and then, like I said, the Y's on choir and different things like it was funded. Right.
So let's talk more about youth programming between 2000 and 2003. You talked about the Y's on choir. Any other youth programs that you started or that were continuing into your directorship?
Yeah, we had the Wise On Choir. We had the junior volunteer program, as I mentioned earlier, that helped kids with life skills, especially middle school kids with life skills, how to write checks, and how to, save money, and how to, do well, exceed in school, and all that. And then another thing that we're real proud that we started through, we started and still going strong now, is the Toys for Tots program that we collaborated with the United States Marine Corps, and it's still going strong now through YMCA Great Indianapolis that came out of Fall Creek. It was Toys for Tots that Chris Tolliver started. To give toys to kids and families during the Christmas holidays.
And that's still going strong.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, we went from giving them out at the Fall Creek Y to going to school over on the east side to now we at the fairgrounds doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And So who sponsored a lot of these activities? I know you said that a lot of the youth memberships were subsidized, but who's like sponsored these activities for the youth? I know that like your block parties were sponsored by like the Indiana Black Expo and different things like that, so.
Yeah, Black Expo gave some kind of sponsorship, then we was able to get, you know, a lot of, some of it was through contributions from community leaders and community people. And some of the support was through the YMCA Greater Annapolis.
So you talked about the YZone Gospel Choir, and that was started under Marilyn Statler's directorship, or later?
I think it began to start a little bit under Marilyn Statler. I think it developed more under the leadership of Fred Darcy, which was our program director. They came in about 2000 and really took it to another level. But it did start, it kind of started with Marilyn because they took a trip over to Prague, Fred Darcy and Marilyn, to kind of get some ideas. But we had originally had a group of kids that was singing in a choir, but it wasn't really took to the next level till, you know, was able to, with Marilyn and Fred Darcy's leadership.
So according to the Eye on Gospel section in a December 8, 2000 Recorder issue, Lamar Campbell was responsible for getting the YZone Gospel Choir together. Lamar Campbell was a popular gospel artist who completed a promotional tour for at-risk YMCAs, and he traveled to 6 cities, and he also worked with YMCA's YZone program to develop a 70-member high school age YZone gospel choir.
Yeah, he helped take it to the next level. I mean, we kind of had a few kids that was interested, but Lamar's name and his popularity in the community, in the gospel community, helped draw more kids to it and grew from, you know, maybe like 15 to 20 kids to 70, and then he took his leadership, brought his musicians, and, you know, took it to another level for us, for sure.
Is he the choir director, or he just, or?
Yeah, he was pretty much the choir director. Fred Darcy was the youth director who actually kind of kept the kids together and was chaperoning it all, but Lamar actually, you know, did all the music, practice with him, and provided his musicians and music.
Who decided to connect with Lamar? Was it he that approached Fall Creek, or did someone from Fall Creek approach him?
I think it was a combination of Fred Darcy and Michelle Goodrich and some of the YMCA Greater Annapolis to kind of collaborate with him. And I think he had an interest as well. So I think it was a joint effort from both.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's talk about the Fall Creek in 2003. And of course, the branch closed in September 2003 amid intense controversy concerning changing demographics, decreased membership revenue, and different understandings of how a YMCA should serve the Black community. And public outcry was expressed through membership drives, rallies outside of the English Foundation building, as well as the formation of vocal activist groups, as you mentioned. Which sent letters to local politicians and demanded that the Metropolitan Association releases branch financial records. In an open letter to the community dated September 26, 2003, the Board of Directors explains that their decision to close Fall Creek was a culmination of, quote, more than a decade of study and concentrated efforts to sustain Fall Creek at its current location, close quote. Efforts included $1.1 million renovations in 1991, the development of joint strategic plans in 92, and with the Fall Creek Board in 96, the commission of statistical research studies in 1989, and 10 years later in 1999, as well as membership drives and promotions in local media. So I want to know, how would you summarize the arguments of those who wanted to keep Fall Creek open to serve the Black community? Despite the fact that it had, you know, net deficits, how should you summarize their arguments, the arguments of those who wanted to keep Fall Creek going?
I think because of the history, the rich history, the monster meetings and all the NAACP and all those things that and kids have now was adults and pillars in our community that was part of the Fall Creek Y. I think that it was just a lot of emotions involved in that, and you know, just a lot of emotions, a lot of history, a lot of people had been touched by the Fall Creek YMCA, and they hated to see it close. And that was one of, and what I heard in the community, that was the last piece of the history of the Indiana Avenue. The Fall Creek Y was the last, because the Walker Building had since still there, but it was taken over by some other sources, and then all the other, you know, different things that was closed on the avenue, and Fall Creek was the last thing left. And so it was a lot of emotions involved with the community, and I think that, not for say that this it was the last, you know, African American piece of history, and people wasn't ready to let that go, didn't want to let it go, and so that's why it was so emotional. That's why you had the protests, and you had the group that was put together by Josh and Adande, and you know, it got ugly, and we didn't want it to, but you know, the emotions was there, and. That's how it was.
Why didn't the protest and the emotions, why didn't that equal increased adult membership, do you think? Because you said that you still couldn't reach the 1,500 mark. Yeah. Or goal.
You had some people, you know, it did increase a little bit. You had some people that did come in, but just not enough. And I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I don't know if some individuals just didn't want to get involved in the controversy and say, well, you know, I don't know. I really don't know. I know that there was some effort, and we did have different events. We had our last block party, last dish effort. We had WTLC was out there trying to have people buy memberships and stuff. But I don't know why it didn't work. But I think that one thing the community can be proud that they did give a good, you know, good effort. But then the bottom line, and I think from what the association was looking at, it, you know, it's good to talk and have the emotions, but we need the dollars, and that's what I kept trying to stress too, that you got to buy a membership. We need memberships here, and I don't know why the reason why that didn't happen. But especially with the fact that with all the emotions, it seemed like that it would have it would have happened, but it didn't.
Mm-hmm. So how did you feel about Fall Creek's closings? I know you said that when you became acting executive director in 2000, you weren't, and when you, you know, wrote the Changing Communities report, you weren't planning for it to close, or you weren't thinking that it would close. So how did you feel when it did close 3 years later?
Yeah, I was always wanted to keep the positive mindset that something was going to happen to make, keep it open, that we were still serving a lot of kids and still making an impact in the community. So I had the hopes and the prayers that we would continue to stay open and grow and move forward. But when the decision was made to close, sure, it was tough. It was tough for me because I had been a part of it for, you know, 13 years, and I had seen it, you know, the up and down of the Fall Creek. Was able to build relationships with the people, with the seniors, and with the kids in the community, and I just thought it was access to the community, but. And so it was a sad day and a sad time for me too. And then, like I said, it was a tough situation too, to try to keep community at upbeat, keep them, to keep them not to get too far out of hand, but at the same time, you know, also be loyal to my superiors and the people who hired me with the YMCA. And so it was tough, but I understand what their decision was. Why? Because like you said, it was just gonna be a financial burden to keep it going and not able to renovate and not to, and just the lack of membership. So And I was a little disappointed that that we weren't able to get more support to get those adult memberships up, you know. But as a whole, you know, I'm still sad today. Fall Creek will always be a big part of my life, a big part of my memories. And it helped me professionally. It helped me a lot. So Fall Creek was, will always be a part of me.
Mm-hmm. How did the rest of the staff feel, the rest of the 8 full-time employees at Fall Creek? How did they feel about their closing?
I think everybody probably felt the way I did. They didn't want it to close, and they wanted to do everything they could to keep it open. One of the things that the YMCA did do, YMCA Greater Annapolis, was able to keep a lot of us, most of those core eight was able to be replaced to other YMCAs. I was replaced for a year. I worked with the YMCA Greater Annapolis, then later I was transferred to the Jordan Y, but our youth director, Fred Dorsey, went to Benjamin Harris, and Chris Tolliver went to Randsburg, and Daphne Williamson Randsburg, and some of the other key staff was located, Bonnie Shelton went to Randsburg. So we went to different YMCAs. So that was the good thing, and that was something that Mr. Lineweaver and did state that he would place, you know, no one would, the key staff would lose their jobs if they choose to stay with the YMCA. Mm-hmm. So that, I do applaud the YMCA Greater Annapolis for that, to continue, for us to continue our careers with the Y, that we didn't lose our position, because it easily could have closed. When they closed, could say, well, hey, you know, just like a lot of plants and stuff, you know, you're laid off, you don't have a job. So I appreciate that, and I thought that was outstanding on the YMCA part. But as a whole, all of us, all eight, everyone, you know, didn't want Fall Creek to close, and was in that, you know, praying and holding on to hopes every day that something would turn around to keep it going.
So could you talk about your role in Fall Creek's dissolution process? I know that you opened the building and gave tours to potential buyers at the point where it closed, and the Metropolitan Association was getting ready to sell the property to a buyer. What was your role, or did your role kind of extend after Fall Creek closed?
Probably after we closed on September 30th, 2003, probably all the way. I think I kind of stayed in to kind of help the transition, getting stuff shifted. Some of our guys' stuff shifted over to storage. I had one of my janitorial staff to help get the building clean. Our administrative assistant stayed with us about another month or so, just to get all everything packed up and thing. And then I stayed for, you know, I think all the way to probably about February in the branch, just kind of being the pillar. And then also at that time, like you said, having realtors come in and different organizations that was interested in buying and maybe purchasing the building, mm-hmm. or running some programs out of it.
So were you still, you weren't what, the executive director, you were just the, or not just the, you were the operations director or something?
Yeah,
you were still
I don't know what the title was, and that I was still with the YMCA Greater Annapolis, and I was still working. And then I was also working with the YMCA Greater Annapolis through their office, and getting prepared to create another position that I was getting ready to do, quality assurance director, which was in charge of going around inspecting all the facilities to make sure that it was clean and safe. So I was kind of at the Fall Creek Y, getting, you know, kind of preparing for my new position, that you know, but at the same time opening the doors for, you know.
So the Metropolitan Association sold the Fall Creek YMCA facility to Center Township trustee Carl Drummer for the sum of $1,500,000. Mm-hmm. And the purchaser agreement dates March 7, 2004. Mm-hmm. So according to the document, YMCA programs to continue after building closes, dated June 2003, proceeds of the sale of Fall Creek were to be board designated, with one half funding an endowment for children and youth programs targeting neighborhoods generally inaccessible to traditional YMCA programs, and the remaining half to be applied towards purchase of property strategic to Center Pike Township. So could she talk about how the urban mission benefited from this endowment for children and youth programs? Because I know that after they sold Fall Creek, the money went into this endowment to support other programming in the area. Was urban mission a part of that
process? Yes, I believe so. I don't know if they have received any fundings yet or if they letting it draw. But urban mission was a big part because of some of the programs that we had at Fall Creek went through urban mission, went through some of our before and after school programs. I think they dealt with IPS for a while. And then at some are like the Y Zone Choir went with Mr. Fred Dorsey to the Benjamin Harris YMCA. Okay. So some of our programs did go through the Urban Missions leadership.
She talked a little bit about how Urban Mission operated. So when you say that Fall Creek, some of the Fall Creek programs went through Urban Mission.
Urban Mission was originally put together. It came together. Maybe a couple of years before Fall Creek, and it was created the YMCA Without Walls. So they did a lot of programming in the schools and churches, and not per se a facility with a gym and all those amenities that a YMCA usually have, but they did their programming through schools and at other locations. But they had an office, and it was this office, and then they are now housed here at the English Foundation building, but it had a lot of the Urban Mission did a lot of positive things, not just for the inner city community, and that's what it was for the inner city programming to kind of piggyback and to expand on programs that Fall Creek had done and on top of that, but they was already in existence doing some things like some different programs, drug preventions and different programs that they was doing prior. Mm-hmm. But then they also picked up some of Fall Creek's programs after. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Urban Mission, it was started in 1997 under Mr. Lineweaver. Yeah. So did most of Fall Creek's programs go through Urban Mission after Fall Creek closed? Were all of his programs continued through Urban Mission?
Not all of them, but some of them, a lot of the, before and after school and some of them. And then, like I said, the Y Zone was continued through Benjamin Harris. Most part, because at that point, mostly we had was youth programming. Left because like I said, adults, we didn't have too many adult programs except for the general aerobics classes and different things like that.
Mm-hmm. So what are the pros of operating YMCA programs without a building? Kind of this Urban Mission is about like the YMCA without walls, without having a building. So what are the benefits of, do you think, of running a Y or running a program like that?
I think sometimes the overhead of the expense of, like I said, of the upkeep of a building maybe be somewhat of a savings when you're just collaborating with a school. But I think to really run an effective YMCA program, you need a building, have your own. Then you want to depend on other people to provide for you. And I think that's what they're looking at. From what I understand, that the Urban Mission will be moving into our new Meadows YMCA that they're looking at building by the end of 2013, which be housed out of there. And then they can actually run programs through there. And then they still be doing collaborations with other facilities, but mm-hmm. It's always good to have a facility, I think so.
And you think that's true with Fall Creek too, even though, like you said, the facility was landlocked and renovations were impossible, it was still important to have the building for the programs and services?
Oh yeah, I think Fall Creek still could could have served the community. Might would have had to do some creative things, but it probably could have. But like I said, it just wasn't financially, it just wasn't feasible, and it wasn't getting the financial support that it needed to continue. So
Wilma Gibbs, who is an Indiana Historical Society archivist, described Fall Creek's discontinuance as, quote, a process of closing a door but not shutting down programs, close quote. So do you agree with that? Do you think that Urban Mission continued Fall Creek's, you know, programmatic less legacy?
I think some of our programs are still going good. I don't know. I think that that's good, but still, you miss Fall Creek, and Fall Creek was what it was. It was the history, it was a landmark. So I think that, you know, even though some of our programs still living on within the Urban Mission and in the community, it's still not Fall Creek. And even when this new YMCA that they're looking at building in the Meadows, which would be in another inner city type neighborhood, it still won't replace what Fall Creek stood for and what Fall Creek was. But I think if you look at some of the programs that's gonna be continuing, you know, it was through the foundation of Fall Creek, which is a good thing. But, you know, you got community people that still would like, you know, that building to still be there or be a building because Fall Creek, but we have to live on, we have to go forward, and that's where we at. And I think some of the foundations that we built at Fall Creek that we implement, some of the programs are still living on, and there's a lot of great stories, as I talked about, from the residents that used to live there, from kids that grew up at the Y that staff have impacted over the years, you know. So, and that's important. That's more valuable than a building. Is the stories and the success that Fall Creek had on people and impact and success. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we talked about earlier in the interview, we talked about what your plans were for Fall Creek when you first became acting executive director. So I wanted to know, do you feel that you accomplished all of your goals and plans that you initially had as the acting branch director, considering, you know, the controversial close and the development of Urban Mission, do you feel like you accomplished your initial goals at Fall Creek?
I don't think my goal was to try to continue to keep Fall Creek going. So I failed on that part of it because I think I wasn't able to get people to get to change their memberships and to keep Fall Creek going. So I failed that, but I think I accomplished my goal as far as being making an impact in the community, impact on kids, impact on the residents. I've learned from being a part of that experience of the closing of the Fall Creek Y. I've learned, you know, so it was a learning experience. So yes, to a fact, I think I was successful in learning from it, from helping people, from making sure that I did what I said I was gonna do, that staff was able to be placed with other jobs within the Y. Residents was able to be placed in other places without being homeless again. Mm-hmm. So I felt I was successful in that, but no, as far as I felt like, yes, I failed because Fall Creek, you know, is not still there, and I wanted in 2000, I was hoping that I would be able to make an impact to change things around, but didn't happen. But I think, like I said, we still some good things that came out of Fall Creek, still some success stories, and that's important.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So we've been talking for about an hour and a half. So is there anything else you would like to say about Fall Creek? Why I think we could use that the last word. I like what she said.
I just think that Fall Creek is a big legacy. It's a lot of directors, Mr. Milton and Mr. DeFrance and all the people that was Senate Avenue that paved the way for Fall Creek Y, and all the directors, everybody had a piece of that history. and the people in the community. And I just think, and I would like to do kind of a reunion, hopefully in 2013, which would be 10 years. It will be a celebration of 10 years of the closing of Fall Creek. Mm-hmm. That's something that I'm looking at trying to make happen, because I want to keep the memories of the Fall Creek. I don't want to, you know, I sometimes when you say you're doing a reunion, they think it'll bring back the bad memories, the ending where, you know, how it closed and people was protesting or whatever. I don't want to open that wound, but I do want to bring back the, hey, you know, Fall Creek was a big piece, a pillar of this community, and it we need to do something to celebrate. And hopefully, you know, with this here, what we're doing here with the study can show some of the positive things that was done, and maybe talk to some of the old, why some of the members of the community are still living, maybe give them a story, videotape some of these fun stories and memories of the Fall Creek Y, just to make it a celebration or a good thing, not to bring up the wounds, the bad ones that Fall Creek is closed, but what impact and how it affected kids and families and, you know, in this community. And that's where my passion is, to make sure the Fall Creek still live, you know, the good things that it did for this community.
Mm-hmm. That's why you said that stories are more important.
Stories are very important.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Mr. Haas, for sharing, you know, your stories and your knowledge and your experience of Fall Creek Y. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Thank you for interviewing me. Mm-hmm.